My name is Jenny Vasquez Newsom, and I am the guest host of season 2 of Mission Megaphone, a podcast production of Growth Network Podcast. In this season of Mission Megaphone, we will amplify the overlooked leadership experiences and expertise of leaders of color. These conversations will challenge traditional definitions of leadership and disrupt the status quo by centering the skill, ingenuity, and capabilities of impactful BIPOC-identifying leaders from across industries. I wanted to connect with Linz Florence, who is the creator and founder of Growth Network Podcast, to think about why Mission Megaphone was an important podcast series to begin. So Linz, thanks for joining. Thanks for this conversation. We'd love to hear a little bit more about your work and how you got into podcasting and this work around offering a megaphone to important missions in the world.
Yeah, thanks so much, Jenny. You know, I've always been an audio person. I played with cassette tapes when I was young, and I'm a musician. And so that's how I found my way into podcasts. And I found ways to do it at other jobs before I started doing this. I used to work for the LA County Bar Association. And one of the first podcasts I made, because we were talking about how law students weren't finding out about the Bar Association until after they'd graduated. And I was thinking, really in service of those students, what would they want to feel like they were, one, prepared for to go into the industry, and two, to find out about this great resource? And so that project really helped me think in terms of the listener, think in terms of what they need to feel empowered and to grow in their career and to be, you know, better attorneys themselves as well. And so I made this project called Admitted, and I interviewed law school people, you know, managers of law firms, judges, because I just had access through the Bar Association there. And so that was my first time of thinking of how do I help this group of people get from point A to point B? And, you know, it wasn't, even though I wrote all the music, I did all the interviews and I edited everything, it wasn't about me. Mike, the only reason I finished it, it was like, it was in service of these other people who need this resource. And so when I started to think about producing podcasts for companies and organizations and people, I really wanted to focus on the kind of organizations that are trying to create change, or they're trying to help support people as they're growing. You know, we named the company Growth Network Podcast because it's about personal and professional growth meets networking, like the social component of we grow through others. We grow in coordination with others. And so, you know, thinking about the kind of podcast that shows our values in terms of helping people grow, helping support them, and then also the fact that we are not the most knowledgeable people necessarily about what is going on or how we can grow. And so we know there are organizations that are doing great work, and that's what they do, you know, and so what we could do is amplify that great work. And the more we try to find organizations and leaders that speak to us and inspire us, the more fun it would be to amplify them out to the world. And so Mission Megaphone is just that. It's a mission to provide a megaphone for all these great organizations. Each little season, each little space has been a new effort of trying to find how to do that in the most organic way possible, in the most impactful way. And I'm really excited about this season, where we get to, through your eyes, find people we would never have found or never would have talked to and hear their stories and amplify them as well.
Yeah, I love that. And I thank you for sharing the origins of your work and the foundation of amplifying stories and really through the medium of podcasts. It's such a way to connect at another level. You know, we have so many ways that information comes at us every day, and to sit and listen to a story that otherwise wouldn't have been told at such a level, I think there's a lot to take away from that. So thank you for sharing that. I'd love to hear from you thinking about this upcoming season and really exploring what I call untapped leadership, really thinking about the perspectives that are overlooked in probably traditional frameworks of leadership that, you know, have kind of dominated for the last few centuries. What's something you're excited to learn or to hear or anything? What are you looking forward to?
Yeah, I think that there's There's an element of these conversations aren't the kind of conversations I get to participate in. As a white man, I am, there's a certain power, there's a certain kind of energy in the world that no matter how much I celebrate diversity and equity, I still show up as a white dude. And so what I get to see through you is a chance to connect on a different level in a way that your experience and access provides you, you'll ask different questions, you're going to shine a little light on different kinds of things. And it's going to be with, again, with people who I, you know, haven't had the chance to meet myself. And so just on my end, just getting to see, it's like watching the waves go out another step, you know, and seeing that there's a ripple effect of all of this. And the ripple is the knowledge that I get, the wisdom that I learn from listening to these conversations, and also the feedback we get from listeners and other people as these conversations reverberate out. Not to mention just the fact that you can have these conversations, you have a reason to call somebody up and say, even if you've known them a long time or have otherwise, say, you know, we're gonna have a conversation, a purposeful conversation about this thing, and that we all kind of do it together, you know, and kind of community feels really authentic and organic and good, for lack of a better word.
That's wonderful. I have a lot of conversations around leadership and just the leadership of people of color and underrepresented folks in companies and across sectors. And so many times I wish I had a microphone to amplify what those stories were. And so I'm looking forward to bringing that up and kind of uncovering these conversations. I'd love to hear, even from your perspective, as you've kind of navigated the world and thought about your own leadership and how you lead a company, how you show up and how you kind of think about your leadership, maybe even broader than the day-to-day. How do you define it for yourself? We'd love to hear. How do you define leadership and maybe something that isn't common or maybe a misperceived aspect of leadership that a lot of traditional frameworks will look at, but you feel differently, that you operate differently? What would you say if you think about that?
Yeah. You know, my background is in, you know, events and production and all these things. And in the world of production, you know, videos, podcasts, all these kind of technical things, TV, movies, music, all of it, there's this real go, go, go element. There's must do it fast, must do it. It's got to feel like it's under pressure. And so one of the things as a leader I wanted to create here was manageable timelines that don't make you feel overwhelmed all the time. You know, it's something, it's almost spoken of like it's out of our control. It's out of our control. Somebody made that deadline. We have to live up to it. You know what? But somebody made that deadline. That deadline was created by a human being. And there might be some real world constraints you have to deal with. And sometimes things do have to move fast. But the default doesn't have to be running yourself ragged all the time. And so I've worked in enough places that have prioritized deliverable speed over the sustainability of the workforce. And that's a choice. It's a choice. And it isn't the default. I mean, it is the default unless you make that choice. And so to me, leadership is holding the space for the things you know are important, even in the face of people telling you that that's not important. I'm real clear on what my values are. I'm real clear on the organization's values. And we want to show up with how we do our work the same way that we say we do, you know? And so to me, that's the important part of being a leader, is that the people are going to respond to your pace and your focus. You know, what you do and how you do it are going to trickle down. The people are going to either feel like they have to step up and do things that way themselves, or they're going to make assumptions about the whole thing based on how you carry yourself. And so, you know, a frenetic leader is going to create some frenetic teams, you know, and those teams are going to burn people out. And that's not going to be sustainable.
Yeah, and for what purpose? To burn out and to fizzle out for what purpose, right? That resonates so much for me.
Yeah, like even if our work is important, we're just making podcasts and videos. You know, obviously a hospital is different and there's some things where the urgency is real and the response time has to be done and it is hectic and frenetic, but, you know, content creation does not have to live that way. I'm going to wave that flag as long as I can.
I love that. Yes, the manufactured urgency of our world, particularly in media and consumption and all of that, is detrimental, I think. And so I appreciate that perspective of leadership being someone who interrupts that, pauses that to move at a purposeful pace that then allows for meaningful creation. I really appreciate that. And that's something that I've been trying to do even with my own business and my own work is it's really resetting the pace because the world will tell you everything is urgent all the time. And that just can't be the case. So I appreciate that. One final question for today. Would love to hear when you think about leaders who inspire you, and I always use the term leader very broadly. Sometimes it's kind of only allowed for those that have like certain positions or certain stature or you know, certain popularity. Really kind of thinking very broadly, who have been some leaders in your life that have inspired you, that have informed the way you work, the way you think about your values on this planet, on this earth?
Yeah. As I've come to learn leadership, I've seen that there's, you know, leadership from different places. You know, there's the person who has the title and is commanding and it has the leadership structurally. I've worked in an office where there was a certain admin who that admin really held the leadership role, even though they just took the initiative. They had the command over, they were social with everybody. They knew people. And so there are informal ways to be leaders. I studied coactive coaching, and one of the books that was put out by the Coactive Training Institute, CTI, was different models of leadership. And there's leading from the front of the room. There's leading from the back of the room. There's leading from within. There's leading from the outside. There's just all these places we can be leaders from. And if you've got the ability to hold the space for something bigger than yourself, you're acting as a leader or you can be acting as a leader. And so I think back to in college, we had the dorms, we had the RA. The RA is the leader of the dorms per se, but there were two or three other people who were returning students who took it upon themselves to be like culture leaders. And they were saying, hey, here are the conversations you can't have with the RA. And here are sort of the cultural things we need to pay attention to because it's important to know, you know, there's the rules, but then there's the informal rules of how we treat each other and how we act sort of separately from what the institution tells us to do, you know? And so I've found that in almost every organization I've worked at, there are the people who are in charge, and then there are people who take it upon themselves to make sure people are oriented to the space and that they have an understanding of how things work. And hey, you know, did you know that you can submit an expense form, you know, at a job, you know, like the things that you may not hear from your boss or their boss or their boss, but that's like, hey, this is the rules of the road because we all have to figure out how to submit our vacation or do these other things. And so I think that there's orienting people, helping people feel psychologically safe. I think if you do that in any workplace or any group, you're a leader. You're leading that way, you know? And so people who are at their younger stage of career might feel like, I'm never going to make it to leadership. Just start being one now. Be the person who looks out for others. Stop making it about yourself and find a way to enhance the group's vibe or operational strength or whatever. And by investing in the people around you. And sometimes it's just asking them how they are and having those conversations. And sometimes it's like, oh, hey, we need to do this, that, and the other thing. And leadership isn't telling us to, but I know it will help serve us here in this way.
Yeah. I love kind of the broadening of the definition of leadership, that it can exist in very small moments at any day, any level of position. It doesn't have to be this huge, overarching, big macro decision. In the day-to-day, there's a lot of leadership that happens. And so I appreciate kind of uplifting those examples that all of us can do. All of us can make that choice to lead and create spaces where everyone can thrive. And so thank you for sharing that.
When I look back at my life, I also see that I was given chances to participate in leadership activities while in school. You know, some of those chances found me and some of them I found. But what I know now is that all that experience and practice has set me up for this. And so to some extent, too, investing in people at a really young age, giving kids a chance to feel like leaders and to understand leadership at a younger age sets them up to see opportunities to do that in the future. And you can do it if you're learning it later in life too, but it is one of the best investments in a young person is to help them see some of these leadership principles in action and help them actually touch them. Because then as they grow, they're like, oh, I already know this, you know, and that's really invaluable.
Yeah. I love that. Well, I'm very much looking forward to this season of Mission Megaphone. Thank you for the opportunity to bring untapped voices and overlooked perspectives in this conversation of leadership. And I appreciate your reflections on what leadership has meant to you and how this work amplifying and offering a megaphone to organizations, to leaders, to issues and opportunities to really bring to the world. It's a important leadership activity. So I appreciate your leadership in identifying this. And I also want to say a special thank you to Marsha Ord and Riley Armstrong, who's supporting on the back end to produce this podcast as well.
If you've ever wanted to edit your own videos or podcasts, but were overwhelmed by how complicated the software was, you are in luck. Descript, or Descript, is a magical tool that allows you to edit text as if you're editing a Google Doc. We use it for this show and use it collaboratively with clients and co-producers on all of our shows. And trust me, it's easy to learn. Click our affiliate link in the show notes to discover the magical tool for yourself. And if you want some guidance on how to learn and use it, please sign up for our Magic of Descript newsletter.